Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings conference call of BlackBox Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and CEO of BlackBox Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good morning, everyone. I hope all are keeping safe and healthy, and I wish everyone a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. On behalf of BlackBox Limited, I welcome everyone to our Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings call. On the call, I'm joined by Deepak Bansal, Executive Director and Global CFO, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our results presentations on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We are happy to meet again. I'll start with a brief overview on the company, followed by business and financial performance for quarter two and H1 FY 2024. BlackBox stands as a prominent global ICT solution provider, having expertise in designing, deploying, and managing digital infrastructure for our global enterprise customers and Fortune customers, including cloud providers. With our expertise of more than four decades now, businesses have the capability to create and deliver technological solutions and services that align with their essential business objectives. We have established ourselves as a trusted and strategic partner in IT solutions and services, expediting business transformation and strengthening the foundational elements of digital infrastructure such as network, customer experience, connectivity, and more. Our global strategy is based on the principle of think global and act local, which enables us to maintain relationships with our global perspective. Simultaneously, it allows us to stay relevant by providing flexibility to our customers to cost-effectively deliver in 35 countries, including operations from our center of excellence in India. Delighted with our Q2 and H1 FY 2024 results, showcasing a significant enhancement in EBITDA margins and overall profitability. This positive outcome is attributed to our cost rationalization program and improved productivity yields. The strong performance was on the back of consistent increase in the order book. The projects backlog for North America has been on a continuous uptrend. Just to highlight on our order backlog for North America, as of September 21, the order was at $100 million, which increased to $144 million in September 2022, further to $209 million in March 2023, and as of September 2023, our order backlog increased to $233 million. We have reported robust deal wins in excess of $80 million during the quarter, compared to deal wins of around $30 million in the same period last year. We have seen a strong traction across our business areas, with significant contribution from in-building 5G on-go solutions, digital workplace, audio-video, on-demand solutions, enterprise networking, connected building, and data center. The data center market, driven by the impact of hyperscale and cloud providers, is expected to witness significant growth in the foreseeable future. We expect we are well equipped to seize the opportunities. Currently, we take pride in serving three of the five major hyperscalers, along with esteemed clients in the cloud and social media enterprise sectors. Our M&A strategy, as you are well aware, is to acquire and scale methodology has worked out well for us, and we remain committed to exploring favorable acquisition opportunities that align with our strategic goal of identifying businesses that offer growth potential, having suboptimal margin profile. These prospective acquisitions should synergize effectively with our existing operations, enabling us to attract new customers, enhance current business initiatives, support expansion into untapped geographic regions, and foster the development of new capabilities, thereby helping us to turn around the business quickly and bring short-term synergy. So overall, just to summarize, we have seen consistent growth in order book and deal wins despite the difficult economic environment, which is a testimony of the strength of our business model. We are optimistic that we'll continue to see the same momentum in the coming quarters, helping us boost our confidence to achieve our stated guidance for fiscal 24. That is it from my side. I now hand over the call to Deepak to run through the financial highlights.
Thank you, Sanjeev, for the detailed overview. Good morning, everybody, and I wish everyone very happy Diwali and prosperous New Year. I will now discuss our financial performance for quarter 2 and H1 FY24. We are delighted to report best half-yearly performance across all our business parameters. On a half-yearly basis, revenues for H1 FY24 witnessed a growth of 7% year-on-year to INR 3,146 crores from INR 2,934 crores in H1 FY23. Quarter 2 of FY24 revenues stood at INR 1,574 crores, which was flat when compared to quarter 1 of FY24 and quarter 2 of FY23. We have witnessed a few delays at customer sites, leading to flattish growth on a quarterly basis. Also, during the quarter, we have started exiting some of the low revenue customers who do not have future growth potential and were drag on margins, thereby improving our customer profile. If we look at EBITDA, we are happy to report a robust 85% growth year on year to INR 190 crores in first half of FY24 as compared to INR 103 crores in first half of FY23. Talking on quarterly performance, our quarter 2 FY24 EBITDA increased to INR 101 crores, which is up 13% sequentially and more than double compared to quarter 2 FY23 EBITDA of INR 50 crores. EBITDA margins have also performed significantly well. For H1 of FY24, our EBITDA margins increased by 260 basis points year-on-year to 6.1%. Quarter 2 of FY24 saw EBITDA margins elevated to 6.4%, increase of 320 basis points year-on-year and 70 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis. We continue to see an uptrend in margins since quarter 2 of FY23. We believe our focus on cost rationalization and improved productivity has started to yield positive results, thereby increasing our EBITDA margins. Coming to net profit, which is profit after tax, first half of FY24, profit after tax increased to a robust INR 56 crores as compared to loss of 7 crores in first half of FY23. Looking after quarterly performance, profit after tax for quarter 2 of FY24 increased to INR 32 crores compared to negative of 23 crores in quarter 2 of FY23. Sequentially, our profit after tax is up by 33%. Our strong focus on profitability over the last few quarters has started yielding positive results, and we are confident that this improvement trajectory should continue in the future as well. Earnings per share, we have seen a substantial increase to INR 3 rupees 33 paisa per share in H1 of FY24 versus negative of 43 paisa per share in H1 of FY23. For quarter 2 of FY24, EPS increased to INR 1 rupees ₹1.90 per share versus negative of ₹1.36 per share in quarter two of FY 2023 and ₹1.43 per share in quarter one of FY 2023. As highlighted by Sanjiv earlier, our order book continues to remain strong, reflected in new order wins. This, coupled with strong traction across our business areas, is helping us stay firm on our medium-term targets for fiscal year 2024. That's all from my side. I will now request Sanjiv to join me for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deep Shah from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Sir, thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on the commentary that you gave, that there have been few delays on customer side, and you exited low revenue customers. Two parts to this question. If you could elaborate a bit on, you know, what are the nature of these delays and, given how the macro environment is, do you think that this is not really transient, it will go on for, say, a year or a year and a half, or you think it will turn around pretty soon? The second part of this question would be, we have a lot of about 2,000+ customers with, say, revenues less than 5 crore. When you say exiting low revenue customers, what is the, you know, the thought process you have that, you know, how much do we want to rationalize our customer base and what would be a sweet spot for us to be? That's the first question. I'll come back for four more.
Thanks for the question. I'll answer in two parts. On the first part with respect to delays with respect to customers, I think we are a reasonable part of our business of projects which are dependent upon customer readiness of site, including vendor supplies to support their projects. More specifically in the data center space, we work very closely with other ecosystem partners. It could be on the construction side, or it could be on the electrical or power side, who also build the data center when the greenfield is going on. We have to work in tandem to be able to see that our technical work or IT work is worked alongside some of the ecosystem partners. Therefore, a readiness of a site is important for us to be able to move our projects further. We have seen some challenges and delays. I don't expect that to be a longer term with respect to or having it occurring often. In a project, it is dependent upon certain ecosystem partners, be it a technology supply vendor, be it other ecosystem vendor. From a services standpoint, we have to work in tandem with that. Customer site readiness for a project is important. In general, of course, there is a softness in the IT space in general, but I consider our overall specific business to be a large portion to be non-discretionary. We're not expecting a significant matter for us to be affected, but we are cautious, and we're taking measures to see that we are able to burn our backlog, which remains very, very strong, to be able to deliver the required revenue that we are looking for. The second part of your question with respect to customers and our, you know, direction to assets, I think it's a normal business process. I think we definitely want our yield from our customers to be high. As we move forward to grow our business into a high trajectory, it's important to assess our focus on our customers. We would not be able to deliver quality and delight our customers if we do not focus and see the yield we get from a customer. To that extent, we are currently assessing customers over the last 3 years period, assessing the yield from those customers and possibility of what we can do. This is a, we are taking measures to ensure that we take prudent measures that we do not see a possibility or we see very small customers and the possibility not high, to take a measure to either increase our prices to get the better yield, or if we are not able to handle that, we want to exit those customers. We do not expect that to be a large drag on our revenues. It might be mild. In fact, it would be a positive impact to our margins, gross margins and profitability going forward. That assessment is going on at this time. And as we make progress, I think we will take optimum measures to gravitate towards high-yield customers, high-value customers. And if we do not see prospects from long tail, we will take appropriate measures to see that we are able to either increase our value to the customers, or if not, to exit those customers.
Right, sir. Thanks for that detailed answer. So if I can just add a follow-up here. So, when I see that our 5 to 25 crore customer base, we have some 110 plus. So is there any specific business line where, a lot of these sub 5 crore customers are present or they are scattered across? And generally speaking, is there a thought process that certain business lines we want to focus more and therefore we keep those customers, even if they're small, to scale them up? Or is it really across all our businesses? It's very vertical agnostic.
No, I think we're taking an approach of trying to cost to serve the customer. It is not about the certain vertical. We are looking at measures to optimally serve a customer. We can serve a customer locally. We have served a customer globally from center of excellence. So size is one part. I was talking about yield from the customer. So if the yield from the customer is our cost to serve and therefore our profitability, the number of transactions with the customer, and there are various ways to do that, right? We can also do it from a low-cost geography in India, and if that works out, we would get better yield, and therefore there's no need to exit. But if we have a very highly local job, within the transactions, and we make $50,000 a year, that's the position we take as to what the cost to serve is high. So it's not a specific type of customer or a specific type of a services. It's in general taking a view of potential with the customer. We want to do more with less, right? We want to focus and delight some of our largest customers that we serve. All customers are important, but I think more important is yield from our customers and potential for the customers in the next 2-3 years' time. So we are going through a scientific process. If we can serve it from a low-cost perspective, then we'll not exit the customer. We're looking at yield from a customer as to what margin we earn from the customer, what is the potential going forward.
Right. So thank you so much. So the second question would be actually on, say, the deployment of cash or debt or acquisition. So I think it's becoming more clear now that interest rates or elevated interest rates are here to stay for some time. Any change in which we are thinking about, say, acquisitions or therefore resultant debt or debt reduction, the entire area, then anything that we've changed or we still will look out for acquisitions and the idea to repay some debt in FY25 because we should ideally generate some cash in F25, that remains as it is. Any further on this would be really useful.
Yeah. So I think our stated position has been, and I will defer the question of debt to Deepak, but let me complete our strategy and acquisitions. So I've stated before that we follow strictly our economic goals for acquisition. We are not emotional about economics, right? So we will not be acquiring because we just want to acquire to scale. We will see if it's accretive in the short term, as I quoted in my call. We look at short-term synergies. It should make sense for us because appropriate use of cash is extremely important for us, right? So we will be looking at acquisitions to grow. We will not just randomly wanting to acquire. We are a value buyer. We want it to be accretive in the short term. We look at whether we can make it synergistic. We are looking at suboptimal margin profile for us to aggregate and make it margin accretive for us and our shareholders. So therefore, that remains the thesis. With respect to cost of interest and debt, I will defer to my global CFO, Deepak, to respond. Deepak?
Yeah. The borrowing stands at around 375 crores, and with the cash in the hand of around 200 crores, our net debt stands at 175 crores. If you look at our EBITDA of the first half, which is around 190 crores, we are right now, our net debt is, let's say, 0.5x or something of our, let's say, yearly EBITDA. If I just, let's say, on a conservative basis, if I just multiply by two also my EBITDA, then I'm trading at almost like 0.5x of this thing on the overall debt. I think, yes, that cost, we don't see that the cost of the debt will go down sooner, and that is an uncontrollable item from our perspective, because if the Fed starts reducing the rates, like now today, a lot of reports have come that including UBS and Citibank, that in 2024, people are expecting between 200 basis points to 250 basis points of reduction. That's again, not in our control. If that reduction comes in, that will directly flow to the P&L. As of now, at least we are not expecting any increase, and we are not expecting, let's say, unless otherwise, like what Sanjeev told, that we really acquire the assets which are value accretive to us, then only our debt will go up. Anyway, from the overall basis, that asset will be value accretive. The cost of the debt will not be, let's say, very high in terms of the overall value accretion in terms of EBITDA and revenues.
Understood. I join back the queue if anything else. Thanks, Sanjeev. Thanks, Deepak, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to join the question queue, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for giving the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, can you throw some light on the inorganic business opportunities? Have you identified any new areas of business, or would we like to excel in the same areas of business which we currently operate in?
Thank you for the question. We will, I think our areas of business, as we have said before, is focused around digital infrastructure that includes connectivity, networking, modern digital workplace, cybersecurity, and managed services, right? I think we will continue to focus on those areas. We believe the potential in that area for building digital infrastructure over the next several years is immense, because the next generation of applications, AI, machine language, ChatGPT, from connected cars to TransSecure, will be driven on this digital infrastructure. We are in good spot there, right? With respect to acquisitions, we have not currently have nothing to comment with respect to citing something that I can comment on. We are opportunistic, and we'll follow our thesis of being economically accretive to us and shareholders. We are economic and prudent buyers. As Deepak said, we'll continue to see whether it bakes in well into our program so that we do not overload our debt. We do not, you know, stress our business. We want to continue to focus on profitable growth. If that makes sense, we will pursue. Otherwise, I think, we will drive our organic growth.
Correct. Got it, sir. That was very clear. Secondly, we have seen a good improvement on the margins front. We are seeing an improvement trend since last couple of quarters. Do we expect this to continue for the second half of the year? Also, if you could highlight additional steps which we are planning to improve on this margins further.
Yeah. I think operational excellence is a journey. It is a matter of continuous improvement. We definitely want to continue on the journey of excellence and continue to, you know, improve and strengthen our margin position, both on the gross margin side and operating income side, so that we will continue to do that. We expect our margins from gross to operating to net improve over the next couple of quarters for sure, right? We are focused on that. That would come through increased scale. That would come through our use of maturity of our systems and processes that we've deployed over the last couple of years. That will also be coming through maturity of our center of excellence that we now have in Bangalore. If you look at a combination of continuous improvement across our mature delivery models, both locally and globally, our effective use of tools and processes that we've deployed over the last couple of years, and our focus on selling better with respect to our customers and getting better deals. A combination of that, I feel confident that we should be able to continuously improve our margin levels going forward.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Just a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And sir, congrats on the decent setup number. My question on the CapEx side, if you can guide us on that front. And another on the capacity utilization.
Sorry, your first question is on the CapEx?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you know, our business is a low capex business, and our business requires a capex primarily related to, let's say, the hardware and mostly the, let's say, the long term software. If we buy something in terms of the applications or something, or maybe the new offices or the warehouse and all those stuff. So our capex is going to be in the range of between, let's say, $2.5 to $3.5 million every year. That's what our capex range is for the year. So we are low on the asset because it is more like a customer delivery. We don't have, let's say, a delivery model where we capitalize let's say the assets and then deliver to the customer. It is mostly enabling the business type of capitalization. So that's on the capex. Second question, Sanjeev, at least I missed it. What is the second question?
On the capacity utilization side, sir. Like earlier we were approximately 80%. So we are on the same level or any changes on that front?
Did you take your capacity utilization?
No, capacity utilization. So basically you are talking about efficiency of our technicians on the ground in terms of their utilization?
Yeah.
I'll take that. Okay. So I think in general, we run a pretty lean organization with respect to our forecasting of our resources. We currently operate at a capacity utilization northward of 80%. A capacity utilization of 85% is considered to be optimum and the best. So we do have some improvement to be done there. Considering our offshore resources in Bangalore that we have at which is a low-cost geography, we do need to create a little bit capacity, availability there to be able to address our customers. So I think we are utilizing our capacity efficiently. We do have some room, and we, as we mature, I think we should be able to hit more towards 85% capacity utilization from our resource perspective. But having said that, I think we should time our cost based on our revenue. So therefore, we do not need to be creating a large bench of pool of people. We have a 5% to 7% kind of a space to address our growth. So there is a scope to improve that, but I think we have to be optimal with respect to our capacity utilization.
Thank you so much, sir. And sir, my another question is on the America market side. That earlier we discussed about that the strategic shift aimed to drive the double digit figure in the near term. So if you can update on that. If I missed.
So I think we are, as I said, we are in the digital infrastructure space. We expect, a large portion of the spend remains non-discretionary. We still see a strong momentum in our project order book, more specific to connectivity and our data center projects. We expect the momentum to pick up in our cybersecurity as well. So I think across our business lines, I think we remain confident to be able to gain growth. Having said that, I think we're also, as I said, cognizant with respect to a larger economic situation, a little bit of softness on the IT services side. But I think for now, I think our order backlog, our current pipeline, gives us confidence that we are expected to keep our growth momentum going.
Okay, thank you, sir. Great.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Saharsar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Sanjeev, there is only one question. So this quarter we have got some severance cost. So how long you think the severance cost will come? For how many quarters more?
I think we will have, I think this quarter the severance cost, if I remember correctly, data in front about 10-odd crores, I believe. So we do not expect the severance cost to remain high going forward, but we do have some severance cost as we start to more mature our offshore. I think there is still some room to be able to reconstruct. We are still winding down some of our legacy ERP systems. We are down to two or three systems now. And once we are able to do that, we should be able to sit down on a single platform, and therefore some cost optimization will happen. We can take those kind of work from our shared services center in Bangalore. So we expect, at least over the next couple of quarters, to have some amount of service to continue.
Okay, so next year we will not have, so by end of this March, I can say that we will have everything streamlined.
I think over the next couple of quarters, we have been done with a significant portion. Some portion of severance might continue as a part of our excellence program and continuous improvement. But a reasonable part over the next 2-3 quarters could possibly wind down.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants who wish to join the question queue, please press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Vivek Charoria, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sanjeev and Deepak. Thank you for the opportunity. Sanjeev, could you share a more broader 2-3 year outlook as to where we want our margins to be and our top 10? I mean, right now we are at 6.5%, and most of the bigger industry players operate anywhere between 10-12%. So are we reasonably confident that we'll get there, and beyond that, will we want to reinvest some of that into making sure that our top line goes up? So at first, should we expect our margins to go up, and then we invest into for a higher top line growth?
Yeah, so thanks Vivek for the question. So the answer is yes. I think we have said it before. I think we are over the next several quarters, we intend to improve our operating margins, right, and heading towards more towards 8, 9, and 10% goals. I think that's what our objectives are. For the next 3 years' time, we do expect to be exiting upward of 9 to 10%. And I think with scale, we believe that is a possibility for sure. Whether we can do much better than that, time will tell. But for now, over the next 2 to 3 years' time, we expect to move from 6.5. I think we expect to exit this year not go to 7% or more, 7.5, and therefore, I think we expect over the next couple of years to be able to go to 10%.
And do we have any, like, you guys had a like internal strategy session? Are you able to share some of the insights that you have in terms of? I'm just trying to understand from an internal perspective what sort of targets do we have as to where our we want our company to be in terms of scale and, you know, profitability. Because if you look at the past 3-4 years, we've been stuck in this 300 to 200 crore EBITDA range. I mean, should we break out of that starting next year and back to a higher trajectory? Peak EBITDA has been about 350 crores in March 21. And that has been the case for the past 3 to 4 years. So should we expect starting now in the next few quarters to be like an inflection point for us, and our number should only improve?
So I think we have already provided that kind of our expectation for the year with respect to revenue, EBITDA, and net operating income PAT. And I think although we have a little bit of a softness on the revenue side, as you can see in quarter two, although we expect to reasonably catch up over the next couple of quarters with growth. We are confident of our guidance pertaining to this year's EBITDA targets, which is not for the 400 crores or 450 crores. We're also confident of our guidance given for PAT, not for the 140 to 170 range. So I think that we have that. So currently we are assessing our businesses. We'll continue to focus on growth, and I think at the right time we'll provide the guidance for next year and year beyond. our current focus to see drive a mid-double-digit growth, at least going forward. But I think as we get into quarter three and quarter four, when I have an earnings call, we have a better view of the current year with respect to where the goals were and where we will land. And at the right time, we will also provide guidance going forward for fiscal 25 and beyond.
Thank you so much, Sanjay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, a reminder to all participants, if you wish to join question queue, please press star and one at this moment. The next question is from the line of Preeti Mehta from Mehta Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So last quarter, we have highlighted that our cybersecurity business is gaining traction, good traction. So this quarter also, we have added close to 15 clients and a Fortune client. So how would we look at this business vertically contributing to our top line in this financial year?
Thanks, Siti. I think cybersecurity has been a new initiative for us, as you know. It was incubated about 18 months back. We have spent time. It's a very highly skilled and highly platform-centric business. So we have focused for the last year or so in building up capability, both from a security operations center that we built in America and, of course, a couple of centers in Bangalore and Mumbai, and the focus on hiring high-quality talent, the results of and getting a solid footprint. We have started to see that, as we reported earlier on, for the quarter, we added on more than 15 odd customers in that. Although it's a small part of our overall revenue profile, I call it, but it's very, very important from value perspective. It's also very picky with respect to adding our portfolio and to service our customers. So what we are seeing is many integrated deals that we are doing within connectivity and the network. We are able to attach cyber security within that, and that momentum will grow in the coming years. So therefore, I think we expect that volume for business to grow and also enable us to have more brand permission, to have more better conversation with our customers and to build their network. It's important to secure that. So it's a good adjacency. It's a highly skilled business. It's a very, very, technology-dependent and changing business to keep pace. So we're focused on creating the right partnership, having the capability. We have a good platform now, and we expect to grow that significantly, although it may not be very large compared to our current revenue goals. But from a value perspective, it's also an attach that allows us to grow our networking connectivity business. So there would be significant growth. But in overall scheme of things, I think it still remains really small, but very important part of our plan as we write our next 3 years journey.
Okay. Thank you. And sir, one more question. Sequentially, that our top line remained flat this year, this quarter. So are we still seeing the impact decline in TPS business, which we highlighted last quarter? And if you can throw some insights on what all steps have we taken to get the TPS business back to growth track?
Yes, I think our revenues have been flat for this quarter. We expect to change that trajectory in the coming quarters, point number one, across both our services business and our product business. So we expect that to change. We had a point in time difficulty in this quarter, which I think Deepak has alluded to. With respect to our product business, I think we have taken measures for introduction of newer products, getting our go-to-market aligned. And I think it's coming back from a flat perspective to a growth momentum also in the product business. And that will be seen in the coming quarters as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope you have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me, Deepak, or our strategic growth advisors, our investor listening advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Black Box Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.